this. I'm not going to take the angle from the baby's point of view, but I want to take the angle and talk to you for a few minutes today on the thought about what Jesus sees right now. What is he actually observed during Christmas time? And how many know today that Christmas today is full of a lot of hustle and bustle? How many of you disagree with that? How many have shopped until you dropped? Anybody, the other day I was shopping and I was trying to get a lot of it done. My wife was doing some other things and I was doing some things. And as I was shopping, I had my shopping list with me, you know, and I was ready to go. I was going through it, man. I was knocking it out. I was getting things done. I was finding things. And finally, I had more on my list than I had time to do in the day. And finally, I just looked at my list and I gave up and said, honey, I am done. I'm coming home. I've shopped until I dropped. And how many know that's always a great thing for a man to do? You know, that's just, it's not our thing we like to do. But during this Christmas season, you know, isn't it crazy the things that happen during Christmas, man? The shopping that we do and the malls are filled with people shoulder to shoulder. I mean, talk about the day after Thanksgiving. You know, you go out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, people have been standing in line all day long trying to get the hottest toy or the hottest electronics coming out and things going on. People camping out all night, eat their turkey and dressing, and they go out there and spend the night standing in line all night long. I just think we have no sense at all in America, do we? I think, you know, whatever happened to shopping online or something like that anymore, you know, the way we used to do it, you know, anyway. You know, you can shop from home, people, and be comfortable. You know, don't stand in line all night long for two things, and when you get there, they're out of the thing you wanted anyway. You know, it's just a trick to get us in there. But the hustle and bustle of Christmas, and we go shopping, and I think, what does God really think? What does Jesus really think about us shopping for Christmas? And I began to think about it this Christmas season. I began to think about the way that we shop, and I began to think about the different things we do. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, we start off our life and we're shopping. How many know we're shopping all of our life? We're shopping. We find ourselves over here, and we'll come down this aisle over here, and we make our way through the hustle and the bustle, and we'll get to this aisle. And the first aisle I want to talk to you about, this aisle of position. This aisle of position. That we position ourselves, and we spend all of our life working, and we spend all of our life from the time we're very young trying to get ourselves down this aisle of position. How many know that we live our life trying to get down the aisle of position? You say, Pastor, what do you mean trying to get down to the aisle position? How many know that from the time we're very young, what's the first thing you do when you get into school? You want to stand in line. How many know you want to get to the front of the line when it comes to lunch? How many know when it comes to the front of the line for kickball, you want to be there? Recess, snack line, you want to be the first one picked on the team? I mean, even in elementary school, we are positioning ourselves. How many know we're going out for a sports team? We're trying to get to a starting position. We're trying to be popular in school. I mean, from the time we're very young, we're continually trying to position ourselves. And how many are glad that it stops when we grow up? Finally, when we grow up, that stops, doesn't it? We mature. Doesn't that happen? We mature, and we quit trying to cut to the front of the line, except for the day after Thanksgiving. And then we want to be in the front of the line again. I seen on TV where this lady actually wanted to be in front of the line to buy a particular gift, and so she paid this guy, this is no lie, she paid this guy $1,000 to take his spot in line to buy a particular item. And when she got there, her whole plan was she had brought several thousand dollars cash with her to buy this particular thing. She was going to buy them all up, and she's going to take them on eBay and sell them and raise the price so you and I have to pay more, okay? And so she had this great plan, and so she thought, you know, it's worth it. I'll make enough profit off this. I'll pay my way in line. So she paid $1,000 to some teenager to go in and buy a $500 item, but she was going to buy all they had, okay? And so she thinks she's real smart. She gets up there right before the doors open, pays $1,000. She's like, you guys stood in line all night. And when she gets up there to buy all of them, they say you can only buy two at a time. And so, of course, the guy who let her cut and took his place, he got his paid for, and she only got to buy two. I mean, we are crazy about getting position, but it doesn't stop even when we're in school. How many know that when we get out of school, we want to go to college and then go to a university, and we're striving to get our bachelor's degree, and then we strive to get our master's degree, and that's not good enough. I mean, it's never good enough. We're always wanting to continue our education, which is, there's nothing wrong in that. We should always be lifelong learners, and I push you to continue to strive to further your education.
I'm not talking about against that, but I'm saying that's in our makeup. It's who we are. We're constantly trying to position ourselves. You know, we want the next higher degree. And then after we got a degree, we get a job. We think, oh, it's about time I get a job. Finally get paid for doing something I learned in school. And then we start making a little bit of money. Then what happens? And then we find ourselves positioning ourselves. I got to get this promotion, and I've got to find myself doing this. And pretty soon, we spend our whole life trying to position ourselves. Because you know why? Because if I get into college, that's going to make me happy. If I can start on my football team, that's going to make me happy. If I can get a degree, that's going to make me happy. If I get the job I'm looking for, that's going to make me happy. When I get the job, if I get the promotion, that's going to make me happy. When I get the raise, that's going to make me happy. When I own my own business, that's going to make me happy. When I'm the boss, that'll make me happy. We're constantly positioning ourselves to try to make ourselves happy. We walk down this aisle position. And as we go through this aisle position, we climb the ladder of our life and we accomplish one thing after another. And how many know that no matter what we accomplish, that we still can find ourselves so empty? The aisle position. And then as we continue to shop, we don't just shop for the aisle position, but we also shop on our list here. The aisle of possessions. Isn't that a good one? We find ourselves shopping down this aisle of possessions. I can't wait till I'm 16. I'm going to drive. I'm going to buy that car. If I can just have that car, all the girls are going to like me. Not that I ever said that, but, you know, I've heard that said. If I can just get that 79 Firebird, Dad, with black tinted windows, gold rims. Dad, come on. You know, so you know what I'm talking about. I get that car, and that's going to make me happy because then I could drive myself. If I can move out on my own, that's really going to make me happy because I'm really smart. I can make it on minimum wage the rest of my life. I'm really good. And so if I can just get my own place, hey, 10 of us moving together, we don't need anything. We can hang it. That's going to make me happy. College and my own apartment, my own car, that's going to make me happy. Oh, but you know what? Now I got to buy my house, you know, and I don't want to rent no longer. I want to own a house. Home ownership, that's going to make me happy. And we shop the rest of our life. You know what? And this used car is no longer no good. I've got to get a new one. That will make me happy. It actually might make you a little bit happy. But anyway, but how many know that we try and fulfill our life continually with things? We get a new car. We get a new house. What do? I remember the first time my wife and I bought our home, and I was just so overwhelmed. We got such a great deal on it, and I never thought, boy, at our age, we would be able to afford a home we got. And God really blessed us with this outstanding deal and really worked a miracle. We could get this house. And I was like, God, this is the biggest house I'll ever need, Lord. If I could just have this house, Lord, it'll make me happy. And now I'm thinking, Lord, I need more room. I would love to build a house and put a generator hardwired right into it. How many have said that this last 2 weeks? Yeah. I mean, we never seem to be satisfied with what we have. If I could just get this particular car, oh, it's a great car. And then pretty soon, like, I want to trade this in for another one. You know, if I could just get the boat. I've got the car, I got the house. If I could just get the boat. If I could just, and we're constantly living our life thinking the more things we accomplish, the more possessions we possess, the happier we're going to be. Because we're all on a quest to feel this thing. That's why we're shopping. That's why we're made. From the time we are born, we're made to shop. And we're shopping to fulfill this void in our life. And we try it through getting ourselves in position where we think we're successful. And then we try to fulfill it by going this aisle of possession, by grabbing things and acquiring things. I was listening this past week to an interview with a pro athlete. And they were asking him about his life, how it was different from the time he was raised. And how has money changed you? They said, what's the one thing? That's what they asked him. They said, what's the one thing you've learned, life lesson you could just tell us right here? And the guy paused and he stopped and he goes, if I could say one thing to everybody today, it would be this, that money does not buy happiness. And as I looked deep into his heart as he was speaking, I could tell he was still He was still searching. He was like, I thought if I could reach this pinnacle in my position, if I could make it to the pros, if I could sign the multi-million dollar contract, that I would be happy. And a person who had several million dollars, and even a signing bonus, not including what he's making through endorsements, said, if I learned one thing, it's this, that money does not buy happiness. But yet we continue to shop for happiness through our possessions, through our position, only to find out at the end that the more we buy, is God against possessions? Is God against position? No. But when you look to that for your happiness, it'll be unfulfilled in your life. What's the other aisles we'll go down? We'll get out our shopping list today. All right, I've been down the aisle of position. I've been down the aisle of possessions. What about the other aisles we go down in our life? How about the aisle of adventure? The aisle of adventure. You know what? I've got the possessions. I've got position. How about the aisle of adventure? And some of us think the only way we're going to fulfill the void in our life is through going down this aisle of the next fun fix, the next great travel thing we do, the next cruise we can take, the next ski trip we can go on, the next travel around the world. I mean, those things are all, I love the travel, I love the vacation, but some of us think, if I could just do this, I'll be happy. If I could just go there, I would be happy. If I could just do this hobby, it'll make me happy. If I could just master this, I'll be happy. And so we go from hobby to hobby, from trip to trip, from exciting adventure. We jump out of planes. We bungee jump. We do crazy things. Not me, but some of you do crazy things because I'm scared of heights. But some of you do crazy things. Why? Because we're trying to fulfill this emptiness inside. What if I just become the daredevil I never thought I could be? That will make me happy. And we find ourselves going from adventure to adventure. We find ourselves shopping around and trying this and trying that. I'll learn to do this. I'll learn to do that. If I could just shoot par, I will be happy. For some of us, if we can just break 80, we'll be happy. For some of you, can just break 100, it'd be a miracle. But still, if I could, you know, we continue to think, this will make me happy. Is there anything wrong with hobbies? No. Is there anything wrong with traveling? No. I hope that you can have hobbies, and I have hobbies, and I hope that you travel. I love to travel when I can, and I hope that you travel and take vacations and see the world. But knowing this, that it will not fill the void in your life. But we shop there, don't we? We go from position to possessions to a life's an adventure. If I could just make the next big move, that's going to be it, honey. The next big move, and I'll be fulfilled. It will not fulfill us. What's the next aisle we go down on our list? We find ourselves shopping down this aisle. This aisle of relationships. Yeah, this is the one. This is the one that's really going to fulfill us right here. This aisle right here. Shopping for a relationship, because the reason why I'm not happy is because I don't have the relationships I need in my life. If I had a spouse, if I had children, and we think that. So if I've got to find someone to date, and we find someone to date, and then we date, and then we get married, and then we mate, and then we have kids, and wow, life's, we've had all the things we thought was going to make us happy, and then pretty soon we find out it's even more stress at times in our life. Yeah, there's a joy in relationships, and there's a blessing in marriage and children. But if you're looking for relationships to fulfill you, you'll be unfulfilled. Because you'll never continue to fill that void if you depend upon somebody else to fill it in your life. No husband, no wife, no child will ever fulfill that void in your life until you allow God to fill that void in your life. But Pastor, you don't know. I do know. And it's not easy being alone at times in your life. And I know it's hard. I would tell you this, that God wants to get you to a place where you don't have to worry about the relationships in your life. That you trust in him and saying, God, no matter what happens in my life, that when I trust in you, knowing that, you know what, whether I meet the right person now or it takes me 10 years from now, it doesn't make a difference as long as I got you. And see, we got to learn to quit trying to fill those voids, and we shop down this aisle of relationship. And so we date this person. This is not the right one for me, and so he must be the man for me. So, hallelujah, Lord, this man is fine. And so he must be God's will for my life. This is the man I've been praying for. And 2 months later, you realize, he wasn't a man at all for you. Don't have a job, no nothing. Okay, he's going to go there. Anyway, so. But he looks good. All right. Relationships. Relationships. We think we can fulfill them with relationships. We spend all our life shopping down these aisles. Relationships, that's what's going to make me happy. When I get married, I'll be happy. When I have children, I'll be happy. When I do the adventure, when I travel the world, I'll be happy. When I get more things, hey, get out of my way. I've got to get these possessions over here. Aisle 59 right here is a blue light special. Yes, I get more things. That's going to make me happy. No, that's when I position myself. When I position myself and I accomplish what I want to accomplish, then I will be happy. And all these things are things that we put into our cart of life. And we find ourselves continually shopping all of our life, and only to find out when your basket's full that really, even though my basket may be full, my heart is empty. My heart is empty. I haven't really found what I was looking for. And then we'll find ourselves during the Christmas season, we'll go down another aisle. We'll go down the aisle where baby Jesus is at. Oh, look at that nativity scene there. Look at baby Jesus. Wow. Isn't that a cute baby? I mean, all this Christmas stuff, all these songs, all these lights, these decorations, all these sales, all this is about Jesus, right? Baby Jesus. We're celebrating Christmas, baby Jesus, and we'll even stop sometimes and pick up the baby for a little bit. You know, oh, this is cute. You know, this is the time. All right, it's that time of year. I'm going to pick up baby Jesus, and see, I celebrate Christmas, thinking that's going to fulfill the void in my life, and only to find ourselves placing them back in the manger after the 25th, and going right back down through our life, and trying to keep fulfilling happiness through possessions and position and relationships. Find yourself empty. So I wonder what Jesus is thinking as he sees us shopping and he says, I've given us the greatest gift ever. I've given you and me, he's given us the greatest gift ever. But yet we're trying to find happiness in all these things. All these things in our life, we're positioning ourselves and trying to find happiness, and yet it's all empty. It's all empty. Oh, they bring some personal fulfillment for a short time. And yes, your life can be easier with some certain things in your life. But when it comes to happiness, when it comes to fulfillment, only Jesus can bring fulfillment in your life. Only Jesus can bring fulfillment in your life. As we look around our list and see, I was thinking of some things here. As we go down the aisle of Jesus and we put them back, I'm challenged to think about what the wise men said. Matthew 2:11, let's bring it up. They saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. We see where the wise men were seeking after the Christ child. And they were seeking, scholars believe they traveled thousands of miles, actually over 1,000 miles, seeking the Christ child, bringing him gifts. And it says that when they finally found him, that they fell to the knee and they worshiped him. Basically what they did was they shopped until they dropped. They shopped until they dropped. And see, in our life today, we've got to realize that we're shopping. We're shopping for things in our life that we're filling our basket up with things that really don't matter that much in eternity. They bring some personal fulfillment, but you'll never find true happiness. You'll never find true fulfillment until you stop and fall to your knees and say, Christ, you're in control of my life. Oh, we do it, don't we? You know what? God, I'm in control here. I'm going to accomplish this. I believe in you. You're an awesome God, but I'm going to be the first one to get this sale. My life is who it is, and this is where I'm going, and I'm driven to do this, and this is what I'm going to accomplish. And we'll white knuckle this thing all day long. Hanging on, because we're in control. But you're also miserable. Let's be honest. That's why we're trying to accomplish more and more and more. We're trying to fight that miserable spirit if we're really honest and say, you know what, really, I'm unfulfilled. Really, I don't have true happiness. And I will say to you, you'll never find true happiness until you let go of the cart and you stop and you drop and say, Father, I submit to your lordship in my life. I want you to push my cart, God. And you let God come along and you take the Christ child and quit leaving them in the manger and say, man, come here, Justin. God, I'm taking you out of the manger. Won't you push my cart for me? Boy, this is a lot easier. Yeah, you're taking me down this aisle right here? Yeah, yeah. Well, this is a lot easier. This is a lot easier, isn't it? We'll never find true happiness until we let him push our cart. Thanks, Justin. Today, as I was thinking about some of the most popular Christmas gifts ever, I was thinking about some of these stories we've heard. How many remember the Furbies? You remember the Furbies? I mean, we heard people getting trampled over a Furby. Remember back in the late 80s, the Furbies, man? I mean, early 90s, the Furbies? I mean, people come to me. I remember I was a youth pastor just starting out then, back in the early 90s, and people come to me. I think these things are demonic. They talk to you in the night. You know, it had that computer chip inside there, and it would actually learn to talk to you back, and actually would talk to you some back, and it was supposed to be this, you know, this thing. And I don't know if it was demonic. It was electronic, but I don't know if it was demonic. But anyway, people fighting over those things. How many remember the Cabbage Patch dolls? Remember those? I remember when I was in high school, on the news, those things coming out, and people being like fighting for those things. I mean, people, mothers having fist fights in Walmart going with these things. You're like, you know, this is better than the WWF. This is going on right here. Fighting over these things. I remember about 7 years ago, remember the Tico Mi Elmo dolls? You got those? I think we have one still. I asked my kids to find it for me. They went and found it for me. We had a Tico Mi Elmo doll back in the year about 2000 when these things really came really hot. Remember these things? How could you not forget them? People fighting over them, you know, taking them places. Remember that I read that these things were, I think the original cost of them was about $40 or something like that, $40, $50 maybe the most. Is that right? Maybe you can remind me. Anyway, and that these things were such a hot item at Christmas time that people were paying up to $5,000 for these things. Can you believe that? That was actually a true story. People paying $5,000 for a Tickle Me Elmo. Today, this will be auctioned off at half price if you would like to have it. $2,500, it can be yours. You know, if people had to have these things, of course, we didn't pay that. I think maybe Grandma and Grandpa got suckered into that. But anyway, this is one of those things where, you know, thinking about today, you know where this thing does today? People paying $5,000 for this. Now this is on the bottom of a toy box, broken. It's supposed to dance, and he don't do nothing. Look at it. I was trying to push it, you know, and change the batteries out. He don't do nothing. Couldn't even stand, barely. Freeze frame. You know, he's out there. And I was thinking about, you know, how much people were paying $5,000 for these broken toys 7 years ago. That's the way we are, aren't we? We value these things because these things are going to buy our kids happiness, aren't they? Our grandkids are going to love us the rest of our life if we get them these toys. How many know these toys don't last? You can go to a dollar store today and buy these things for just a few dollars. The things that were sold out 7 years ago at Christmas and you couldn't get a hold of, now you can go to the dollar store and buy them just for a few dollars. Furbies, I mean, they had Furbies and Kirbies and Derbies. And I mean, we try so much, and I thought about that, you know, how at Christmas time so much that we buy these gifts and then, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year later, that these things are worth nothing, really. Our kids can really care less. And how much more valuable that we learn to give our children the greatest gift ever given. That we learn to accept the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And that was Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. What a great gift that you and I could give. What a great gift that you and I could give. We could spend all our time hustling and bustling down the aisles, saying my kids are going to love me if I get this or that, you know, and I love buying for my kids at Christmas. I love it, and we're going to have a special Christmas. But the most important thing I can give my kids is not the hottest toy this year. The most lasting thing I can give them is not some toy that's going to be irrelevant in a couple years, maybe even a couple months. But it's to see that their father loves Jesus with all of his heart, that he loves them, and that they'll find what they're looking for. They'll only find true happiness when they yield their life to him. That's what Christmas is about. Through the eyes of Jesus, I wonder what he thinks as we continue to shop for happiness and all these different things, and yet we're not being fulfilled. So today, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to be taking communion in just a few minutes here. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, as you are talking about this aisle that we go down in life through positioning and possessions and adventure and relationships and all these things we do to try to find happiness, and that I realize that's me, Pastor. I realize that I found myself trying to fulfill and fill this void in my life through these different things, thinking if I could make more money or if I could have more things or if I could get this degree or that thing, that I would be happy. And today, if I was really to be honest with you and tell you that I'm really not happy. And I realize today that I truly need to give my life over to Jesus Christ. I truly need to give my life over to him. And I'll just tell you this, there's no better time than the Sunday before Christmas when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And for us to raise our hands, so you know what, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus into my life. I want to ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to quit shopping for all these other things to fulfill my life. And today I want to say that I want Jesus Christ to fulfill my life. I want to ask him to be Lord of my Savior today. Lord of my heart, Savior of my life. No one's looking but me. I will not embarrass you, but I do want to give you a chance to respond from your heart. Never head bowed, no, everybody's eyes closed, no one's looking but me. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ, and say, I just want to raise my hand and say, I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I want to shop for him today. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for being honest. Anybody else say thank you? Anybody else today say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Thanks, bud. Anybody else today say, I need to accept Jesus. Don't leave here. You know what? The best Christmas present that was ever given. Anybody else today say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life, but I've still been shopping. I've asked him to be Lord of my life, but I still find myself shopping. And I still haven't given over complete control to him. And today I want to quit shopping for fulfillment and learn to let go of the cart. And I want to ask Jesus to begin to push my cart, to find my fulfillment in who he is. This Christmas, I want to just walk in his peace. I want to walk in who he is. I just want to learn to trust him and allow him to push my cart in my life. If that's you today, can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to learn to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands going up. Anybody else today, you want to raise your hand and say, I need to give over control of my cart to God today. Thank you. Thank you. First of all, today I want to pray for those who raised their hands and said they want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask us all to pray this prayer and repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. Today, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to say welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. Being a Christian is more than just a prayer. It's about beginning to turn away from the things you used to do and begin to actively pursue going in a different direction. I repent. I turn from the way I used to be, and I say I want to begin to go after the things of God. Before you leave today, we have a special packet for you if you raised your hands. We'll have it right back here at the sound room. Let you know what to do next and read the materials and things we'd like to give to you today. So make sure you stop by and get that as our special gift to you today as we celebrate you coming home today and being part of the family of God. I mean, if nothing else happens this Christmas, you have made a great Christmas. I want to pray for those who today, who, as our communion servers are getting ready today, as they come to get ready to serve, I want to pray for those who are here and say, you know what, Pastor, I need to give over my cart. I need to give the cart over to God in my life. I'm tired of trying to push and find happiness and all these things. So I want to pray for you also. So, Father, right now I pray, every person who raised their hand, Father, who said that they want to give over their trust to you, give over cart to you, Lord, I pray that, God, that they would learn to let go. God, as we quit trying to find happiness through positions and possessions and relationships and adventure, we find that true happiness comes when we do as the wise men did, when they seek after you, when they find you, we bow. We drop and say, God, you take control of my car. You take control of my life. So, Father, today we give you control. We release this Christmas. We release our car to you. Mr. Father, you push our cart. We will follow after you. May we learn to rest in who you are. May we learn to find rest and trust in who you are. And we love you today. And we give you control. And we say yes and amen. Amen. Today we're going to take communion. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to, everybody, you're about make an imaginary line right here in the very middle of this section right here. Everybody to my left, I'm going to ask you to exit to your right. Come around here and receive the elements to go back to your seats. Same way here, you'll exit to your left and come around, receive the elements, go back to your seats. And let's wait. We'll pray together and we'll take them together. So I'm going to ask you to receive these elements, go back to your seats, hold on to them, and we'll pray over them together and receive them together today as we take it to the Lord's table. As Stephanie comes and sings, will you please stand and come this morning.
I melt in your peace, so overwhelm me.
Took his disciples before his crucifixion and had the Last Supper with them. And he said to them to do this in remembrance of who he is. So today there's no better time than right before the days that we celebrate his birth. Even though we know that this is not actually the day that he was born on the 25th of December, but it's the day that we set aside to celebrate it. As we set aside these days to celebrate the birth of our Christ, there's nothing I believe that draws us close to the heart of God than to actually take up the Lord's table together, because it reminds us still about what Christmas is all about. It's right here. This is what Christmas is all about. It's not all about the aisles. It's not all about the shopping and the hustle and bustle that we get caught up in. It's about this right here, what he did for us on the cross. I've asked my father to come. I'm glad to have him and my mom and my sister and brother-in-law and my niece here today with me. I've asked my father to come and to pray a prayer over the bread before we break it today, knowing this, that the bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. He says, often as you meet and you break this bread, do it in remembrance of him. And we know that his body took stripes upon his back. As we study out that scripture, it tells us that stripes are for our healing today. And so as he prays over this bread today, if you're here, you're sick in your body, and you've been taking the bread, you say in your heart, Father, I believe you today that you are healing my body.
So I take of these sacraments today that which represent the body, the stripes which are for our healing. I take of your healing today, my body. I'm receiving my healing. Father, will you pray for us?
Lord, we're so thankful for the body. Lord, this bread symbolizes your body that was beaten, that was bruised, that was disfigured beyond recognition. And Lord, that's the greatest gift that could ever be given. Your body that was given for the sacrifice that it was. And Lord, we want to praise you for your body, for every scar, for the nail prints. Everything you went through was for us, Lord, that we could be partakers of what you brought to this world as the healing, as the deliverance. Lord, you suffered in our place. You made a way of escape when there was no way of escape. And we ask you today, Lord, to bless this bread that symbolizes your body today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.
Let us eat together. Thank him for his body. Now just receive your healing today. That's you. I want you to just be able to receive your healing. Partake of the cup. This cup represents his blood, the blood covenant that he made with you and I, the covenant that he made that says this blood would be for the forgiveness of all sins. This blood, this cup represents mercy that passes all understanding. This cup represents mercy that when nobody else will forgive you, that Jesus will forgive you. Everybody else sees you a certain way, that when you come to the Father and you say, Jesus, please forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins, and he forgives you. And he wipes the slate clean. Never to be brought up again. That's the power of this blood. No other blood had the power to forgive sins. No other blood had the power to erase my past. Except for this cup, which represents the blood that was shed on the cross. I've asked our children's pastor, Jeremiah, to please bless us.
Father God, I just thank you for your blood this morning. Father God, it rolled down Calvary's hill 2,000 years ago to cover my sins and to cover the sins of anybody who would come. Father God, even on the days when we just don't feel right, your blood covers our sins, Lord Jesus. When we don't believe, your blood covers our sins, Father God, and pulls us back to where we need to be. Father God, it wipes the slate clean and lets us have a fresh start. Your mercies are new every morning, Father God. We can get up every morning and have a fresh start and feel clean and feel right with you, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you for that blood, Father God, that covers my sins every day. Every day it covers my sins, Father God. And we thank you this morning.
Let's drink together. Now let's stand this morning. Let me bless him and thank him and worship him. Stephanie and Matt, sing us through one more time. Let's just worship the Lord this morning.
Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. seek you.
In you. We do take of your table, Lord, your cup today, remembering this is Christmas. Forgive us, God, of allowing ourselves to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle. And Father, may we continually find ourselves at Christmas, at the New Year's, Valentine's Day, the 4th of July, all year long, and we continue to find ourselves at the Lord's table, remembering who you are and what our life is about. We surrender ourselves to you today. We thank you, Father, for those who accepted you for the first time in their life today. What an awesome testimony, God. What an awesome Christmas gift. According to your word, there's a party going on in heaven right now as the angels are rejoicing over those who have come home and accepted you as Lord in their life today. And we celebrate with you today, God. We celebrate with the angels. We say thank you, Father, for your son. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for new family members coming into the family of God. We're going to bless you all Christmas, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, let me remind you a few things before you leave. First of all, make sure you go to the back. Kathy will be in the very back there. Make sure you go to the very back and pick up those Krispy Kremes, deliver on the way home, okay? Also today, remember this. Have a merry, merry Christmas. God bless you today. Thank you very much.